How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm a week off. I'm 5 days behind. Before we go into anything, I want to thank Josh Nason from Wrestling Observer. He filled in for me for the last couple of weeks. It was incredible having him fill in. I would love for him to fill in whenever I can't make it moving forward. He did a great job, so I wanted to thank him for allowing me this little vacation from the world of professional wrestling. I got to tell you, it was the first time in ever that I took off this long, and it was really refreshing. I needed it. Listen, the holidays are busy for me. Around this time, it got so nutty for my professional life, for my home life. There's something going on every day. So we decided I was going to take off for a month. And man, what a time to come back. A humongous start to the year for professional wrestling. By the way, this show is uninterrupted today. This episode is not on Sports Byline. This is exclusively on the Wrestling Observer website and on YouTube and everywhere else that you could listen to us. So we will not be having any breaks. We won't be having any interruptions. You won't hear me say, we'll be right back after this, because we're not going to anything. But man, what a great start to the year. Really vital, important start to the year. Between what's happening with AEW and Max and WWE heading to Netflix, SmackDown going to 3 hours, last night's New Japan show, you know, Wrestle Kingdom is always, the bar is set so high for that show, and it rarely disappoints, but I have to tell you, I did not love Wrestle Kingdom, but I did like the following night. Wrestle Dynasty, that was last night, was a remarkable show. We saw the return of Kenny Omega, which we're going to break down everything here. But really unique period for professional wrestling. And it was nice to step back for 5 weeks. And you know, this was more like an experiment for me, too. I stepped back for 5 weeks. I consumed wrestling as if I'm not talking about it. I'm not reporting about it. I didn't have to watch it, live because I didn't have a show the next day. I consumed it very differently, mostly with my kids. Talking about consuming wrestling with my kids, I took my son to Dynamite at the Hammerstein Ballroom. This kid had the time of his life. In my opinion, this is how wrestling should be watched. Intimate, 2,000 people, 1,500 people, smaller venue. This is my preference, right? This is me. I'm not saying that this is good. If wrestling were to only be 1,500 people per you know, whatever, it would be, they would financially, it would not be okay. But for me, I like watching it in an old opera theater, okay? I had a blast. He had a blast. I also was there for Ring of Honor. So I did follow wrestling, but it was done differently. It was done more like a fan of wrestling rather than having a report about it. And I absolutely loved watching everything. So it was a nice little break, you know? The pressure was off. I didn't have to sit there and analyze everything. I just enjoyed it. But I do want to talk about, where should we be? Oh, my producer should too. Happy New Year, MG.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Mm. You followed a lot of wrestling. You didn't take off. You were still doing
everything. I actually, you know, I did kind of let myself go instead of like watching it full through. I would.
Well, you have to watch because you do all my notes. You'd write all the notes for the show. So you have to.
So it was background noise, a lot of it, some of it, but not all of it. And some of it I really liked and some I didn't care for. So it was par for the course. It was a week in wrestling.
Let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom, huh? Why don't we start there? Because I do want to talk about a little bit about SmackDown, because they went 3 hours and that show did not really drag out. It was not it didn't feel like a 3 hour Raw. It felt very different. I think they did a good job with this.
Tomorrow, there was a lot of stuff in 3 days. And we still have 2 days. We still have 2 days to go of stuff.
Yeah. I think, well, you know, if you think about it, right? We had that really cool 3 days at the Hammerstein. You got Collision, you got the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and you got Dynamite. And that Dynamite really, I mean, even Collision, those couple days at the Hammerstein kind of put a new coat on AEW in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of, it felt like AEW. It didn't feel like whatever it's been during its down periods this year. And they came back strong with Dynamite. I thought last night's Collision was a lot of fun. I thought World's End was what they did with World's End.
World's End
was great too. Fantastic show. Mm-hmm. How could I see? There was so much wrestling. I'm you know, you're missing stuff.
Right.
Here,
it's all going to blend together. We're just going to run with it and see where we land.
Yeah. So let's go into Wrestle Kingdom. Like I said at the start of the show, I didn't love this. I mean, obviously there were some fantastic matches and people worked really hard on the show, but you have an expectation for Wrestle Kingdom. And I don't think this was it. Did you watch all of Wrestle Kingdom, MG?
So I got interrupted. By interrupted, I mean fell asleep. So I didn't go back and catch a couple of them. I don't have it on here, but one of the funniest things I saw was Kenta doing a speed walk to the ring during the Rambo and the
The Rambo was actually fun. I enjoyed the Rambo. Josh Barnett was, masterful in that Rambo. Goto won, by the way. So Goto's the winner of the New Japan Rambo. That Rambo is a great start to the show. You know, you start off with a rumble, people are into it, you get people out there. You get to see people like Yuji Nagata come out and do his thing. I thought the Rambo was fun. Main card, Ichiban Sweet Boys, Robbie Eagles, and Fujita defeated the Intergalactic Jet Setters, which is Kevin Knight and Kushida. Catch 2-2? 2-2. It's yes. TJP and Akira. And Bullet Club War Dogs. It was fine, and it was a four-way Tokyo Terror ladder match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. You don't see too many ladder matches in Japan. I thought they did a good job here. A lot of bodies crashing and flying. It's everything you think of an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match. This was a good opener. Again, different start to the show. You don't start, this isn't a common thing, but they're trying different things here. You had... Iwatani.
This is where I picked up right here. This is where I got.
Okay, so what did you think of this match? This was a great match.
This was a very fast match, and I kudos the commentary for making sure they mentioned that Asumi's style is fast, so that when the match only went like 8 minutes, they gave it a reason.
We got to talk about commentary.
Oh yeah, we're just throwing the women.
We got to talk about commentary, especially for last night. Last night's commentary was insane. When they referred to Tony Khan as a money mark.
Yes. Yes. Chris Charlton. Is it Charlton? It's Charlton. He doesn't care.
We'll talk about that when we get to it. But I thought this was fun. It was a very, very fast-paced match. Mm-hmm. Iwatani won, like we said. You had El Phantasmo and Ren Narita. And Jeff Cobb for the TV title. I did not see this match. I had a phone call. I was watching by the side of my eye. It was fun. It was a fun match. Jeff Cobb is fantastic. El Phantasmo is great. They told a story here. It's for the TV title. A lot of titles on the show. A ton of titles.
Just pretty much all their titles were up there, right? Most of
you
them,
had-
at least.
Everyone, yeah. Even titles that don't belong to them. Tanahashi and Evil. What did you think of this Lumberjack match? I don't get the Evil character. It doesn't do it for me. I feel like I've missed something here. I didn't get it when he got the title. I didn't get it when it was created with the laser pointers. I didn't love it.
So the story of the match was, if Tanahashi lost, he retired early. He announced he was going to retire. He was going to retire next year.
Yeah.
Or at the end of the year. I'm not sure when. But so when he wins and he gets attacked at the end, Shibata shows up.
Yeah.
And that's Shibata challenged
him. Yeah. Shibata challenged him to a match the following night. They did a match.
But they still won't let Shibata work a full match.
They will not. No, New Japan will not clear up. Maybe they know something we don't. You got Takeshita. Oh, this was fantastic, by the way.
This was probably the best.
You want to talk about star power, right? Like, this show did a number of positive jobs here. One, Kenny Omega looked fantastic last night. We'll talk about that. Young Bucks looked fantastic last night. We'll talk about that. But Takeshita really came out as a main player for 2025. He beat Shingo for the Never Openweight Championship and for the AEW International Champion. He's a double champion now. And the way that he was being presented, especially on commentary and in that building, he really came off as a big act. Don Callis was fantastic, too, last night. But yeah. I really like this match. I think Takeshita, he's really special, and I'm glad they're pulling that trigger finally because he was there for a little bit, and he didn't really do much, and now they figured it out.
He signed a contract, I guess, yesterday. So now he's got a New Japan contract and an AEW contract.
And a DDT
contract.
And a DDT
pro. Yes.
Yeah.
So good for him. Get the bag.
Yeah, get the bag. He's young. Listen, he could do it. I mean, he's not that super young, but he could do it. El Desperado defeated
skills.
Doki.
Anyway.
For the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. What did you think of this?
This is where I might have dozed off for. So okay. I admittedly didn't go back and watch this one.
Yeah.
But from what I heard, it was good. But they ended up stopping it. I know that.
Yeah, there was a injury. Yota Tsuji, one of my favorites, defeated David Finley for the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. This may have been my favorite match of the night. David Finley's incredible.
They're
Tsuji's incredible. I mean, Tsuji's, again, there's something very special about him.
I saw this match, and I immediately thought of you. I went, oh, my God, look at the aura of this guy coming out. That red, like, crop coat that he was wearing with the hat. I'm like, oh, this is going to make Andrew happy.
I thought this was great. I thought this was fantastic. I really like this. Another match that I really liked, and I saw some criticism, was Naito and Hiromu. Hiromu's a big boy now, huh? He put on some size.
Yeah, I don't.
He's not a junior heavyweight.
Yeah, I don't think he qualifies as a junior anymore.
He's not a junior anymore. I really like this match. The story obviously was the brotherhood between the two. They're part of the same stable. And on commentary, did you hear the story about how Naito selfishly, because he has an eye problem in one of his eyes, he had a detached retina and it's affected his vision. So what he did was. Not correction surgery on his other eye, but he actually made his vision worse to balance out his vision.
Oh, so I missed that.
Okay. That's what they were telling you on commentary, which I found that to be a fascinating little piece of the story here. Naito won. At the end, you know, so at one point he wanted to do the fist bump that they do, and Hiromu turned his back. But at the end, he acknowledged, obviously, Naito as you know, the leader of the group, and they kind of shook hands, and they did that thing. I really like this match. I'm a big fan of Hiromu. You know, having that neck injury, it slowed him down, obviously, tremendously, and he had to change a lot about him. But this, again, he's a special guy. There's something there. And with Naito possibly approaching the end of his career, what a good guy to kind of cover that ground in that company. Main event. Zack Sabre Jr., Shota Umino. A lot of criticism, right? The big story was that Shota's not ready for this. They even were saying it on commentary, how Shota...
It was part of the storyline, yep.
It was part of the story. Yeah. But, you know, I don't like that, especially when... I mean, maybe it works. Listen, your commentary is telling you, like, this guy, this is before his time. He should not be in the spot. And they were right. He lost. But... Generally, you don't see that in wrestling, right? You see the opposite. People tell you how terrible someone is and how they're not ready for it, and all of a sudden there's a win, there's an upset win. Zack Sabre Jr. and Umino went 43 minutes here. Zack looked great. Umino worked
maybe
really
10
hard.
10 minutes too long? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking 10 minutes too hard. The big story was that the longest main event was 48 minutes. at Wrestle Kingdom, and these guys came to 43 minutes. They didn't top that. Was this the match to do 43 minutes? I don't think so. I don't think so. It wasn't a bad match.
Well, I think they were trying to tell the story and continue it over to the next night with Claudio.
Yeah, they were continuing a story, right. But not that, the main event of Wrestle Kingdom should be the best possible match,
yeah,
not a story.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Not the best possible story. I thought, you know, listen, it was fine, and it had moments that it picked up. It had a lot of moments that it was very slow. My biggest criticism was that they went 43 minutes, and I think they should have gone maybe 33. You know, they went a little too long here. But it was an okay show. Not a great show. I didn't love Wrestle Kingdom. It was fine. However, last night, I freaking loved. Last night was incredible. Top to bottom, the show was really good.
Do you think it had to do with the fact that you knew a lot more of these people? Because there was a lot of AEW wrestlers.
There was a lot of AEW, but it's... You know, there were 10,000 people less in the building last night. I think they announced 25,000, and it was 15,000. And Brian and Vinny said 10,000 people made the wrong decision because they should have come to this one. I agree with you. This was a better show. I don't know. Maybe because I'm more invested. I mean, you obviously had Kenny Omega returning, right? And that was a big, big deal. Mercedes put on a great match. I thought that was a really good match with Mina. Really like that.
So
the Young Bucks did.
So can I just say
match.
Something about that real quick? So Mercedes, I don't know if you've noticed it, but since she's come back, over the last month, she's had like four just killer, like top of the card performances. And one thing I noticed is how much different her body looks. She looks more fit, more like in shape. Like more tone, like everything is hitting all cylinders.
Well, I think once you're in the groove, you're in the groove. You know, it kind of takes a little bit of time to get back on that. And you're wrestling a different style, and it's a harder style, and you're wrestling longer matches. The expectation is a lot more. You're not going on WWE TV and cutting a promo for 2 weeks,
right?
And having, you know, a 4 minute, you know, standard NXT style match. She's working super hard.
Right, and her, like I said, I think if you look at her body now from where she was when she was in like WWE, she just looks more fit.
Yeah, that's
more
great.
Like an athlete, and it's working for her, and she's putting on some of the a stretch of matches here that's just making her, you know, what she wants to be is probably the best American female wrestler ever.
Yeah,
she's on the way if she's not already there. I'm not going to say she is, but...
Yeah. You had... let's talk about the main card here. You had Ishimori. Ishimori won the 8-man Lucha Gauntlet for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Interesting move here. I think Ishimori's great. You had Shibata.
You didn't
want
to talk about
Tanahashi.
Dustin Rhodes?
Oh, yeah, Dustin. Yeah. So Dustin on the pre-show... it is the first time he's been in the Tokyo Dome since 1992, where he tagged with his dad. So this was,
cheered up for a second when I heard that.
Listen,
I was like,
you know what?
Oh,
if you are ending your career, which Dustin is at the end of his career, right? You're trying to get in all this stuff. You're trying to get this kid over, Sammy. You want to kind of touch all these things. You have a World Tag Team Championship that you have. He's having fun now, and he was in the Dome. He was against House of Torture. You know, it was fun. It was what it was. But
so it was chaos.
It was chaos.
Match, but...
Yeah, it was a nutty match. But all right, cool. Oh, yeah, and Watanabe. Momo won the International Women's Cup. So she gets to challenge anybody, anywhere, anytime, right? That's the rule.
Anyone from those five promotions. So.
All right, so let's go into the main. Ishimori won the gauntlet. We said that. So I was curious what they're going to do with Shibata and Tanahashi. They did a 5-minute time limit draw where essentially they slapped each other and chopped each other for five minutes. Okay. That is pretty much what happened. I was curious what Tanahashi was going to do because Tanahashi worked hard the night before. And it's not easy he for did him hit, with those knees.
He did hit Shibata in the head at one point.
He
and
did.
The commentary were like, oh.
Well, commentary did a good job at explaining that, you know, Shibata had a life-threatening injury. He had a career-ending injury.
They pretty much told it straight. They didn't they try told to it straight, yeah. You. They, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't. They didn't. I mean, they told the story of what was going on. It was what it was. But this was great. Mina and Mercedes. What did you think of this? Because this was fantastic.
So, yeah. So
I like both of them Mina. Tremendously. I love Mina. Mm-hmm. There's something so special about her.
Right.
It just comes. It looks natural. Everything she does.
Mm-hmm. The fact that she was working. So I didn't. She didn't do this much of this in AEW, but the leg holds the. The variety of them, the figure four being her mainstay.
Yeah.
And then she had one that almost looked like an Indian deathlock at one point. And she got about 70% of this match. Mercedes just bumped her rear end off for this girl.
Yeah. By the way, this was for the Strong Women's Championship and the Undisputed British Women's Championship. Yep. So Mercedes now has four titles.
Yes, because that Undisputed has two belts attached to it. So
yeah.
She's walking around with four titles. She's the new belt collector, I guess.
She's the new belt collector, and I'm curious when she challenges for the IWGP title or when she challenges for the AEW World title. That's what would be
maybe
next
that's
for
who
her.
Maybe that's who beats Athena, right? For her title.
For the Ring of Honor title. Maybe that's who beats Athena, yeah. I thought they did a good job. I think this was a great showing for Mercedes, and it is. I do like having the women on Wrestle Kingdom now and in New Japan now. You know that for new fans, that's probably normal. But for anybody that has followed New Japan, they've always kept that separate. Really, like they weren't.
You're adding a different viewership, right? You talk about marketing and a lot, and that's what you're doing. You're telling people, hey, watch this. And, you know, and seeing Mercedes, believe it or not, they put this title on her because she's going to go over to London and defend this title. And they're probably going to do a good number with her on that card.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. David Finlay defeated Brody King. This was a great match, too. David Finlay was probably the, I would say if you are a casual viewer, right, one of my buddies, he's a very casual viewer. Okay, he got into the Bullet Club stuff like many other people, and then he just stopped. Pandemic, he stopped. So he hasn't seen David Finlay in many years. Right, he had no idea who Yoda Tsuji was. Dosu stood out tremendously. Takeshita stood out tremendously to him, but he was blown away by David Finlay. He's like, "Tell me more about David Finlay." I'm like, it's Fitz's son.
Yep.
So, and he's been in Japan forever. I thought this was great. Brody King and him had a great match. I do like Brody being there. I don't know what AEW is going to do with Brody King, but they had some good spots. Dave Finlay powerbombed him from the second rope. It was a big powerbomb on Brody King. They just fantastic. They went to the outside. Brody at one point started doing the stand, you know, the bark, right, that he does. So he's standing outside. He's doing the bark. He's doing the bark. And he goes for like a crossbody while Finlay is
that
on the barricade. And it looked like he smushed this man into nothing. Unbelievable. I really, really enjoyed that match. Shota Umino defeated Claudio. This the story here was that Umino's not ready for anything, right?
So is this like initiation to be in the Death Riders?
I don't know. I don't know. Mm. And he beat Claudio. Mm. It was fine.
It was a decent match. Everybody, the Japan audience loved the giant swings. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They were so into it. Takeshita defeated Ishii for the NEVER Openweight Championship and the AEW International Championship. So two nights he won back-to-back, defeating Tomohiro Ishii. This was another good match. But you could tell that Takeshita was tired here.
Mm-hmm.
He worked hard, but, you know, go the night before, to this, you know, it's hard to do two nights back-to-back like that. You got the return of the Young Bucks after 2 months.
So these next few matches are all the stars of AEW.
Yeah, the next few matches is, yeah, it's the best of AEW, the next couple matches. Young Bucks defeated the United Empire. Los Ingobernables de Japón, which was Naito and Hiromu for the vacant IWGP Tag Team Championship. Young Bucks look like $1 million. They came out to their old
theme. They look like they never left.
They look like they never stopped wrestling the last 2 months. Brian said, I don't know what they've been doing, jumping on their trampoline, most likely. They look great, and they love them there. And they won the tag titles.
So I thought it was an interesting choice. But
is this two or three for them? Is this the third IWGP tag title for them or a second?
I think it's the third.
I don't know if it's a second because they were juniors for the longest time.
Yeah.
But they were, I mean, they were fantastic. And that was a story here. That was a story about their return and how great they are. After this, you had Yota Tsuji defeating Jack Perry. Thank God. For the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship.
My favorite pimp hat of all time.
Oh, the pimp hat? Yeah. I would have liked them to figure out a way for Jack Perry to get there with the car. They could have shown him putting it, porting it on a ship, getting it on the ship, the ship dropped, you know, and he's like in there. They're bringing him over with cargo. Jack looked good.
Yeah, I this match was kind of just there for me, but I do like Yota Tsuji.
You were
on the bandwagon with him like a year ago. So
I saw it, dude. Kudos. I saw it in him. I sometimes somebody just has that. I'm like an all time record executive. I just see an act, and I'm like, that kid's got it. No, he's fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right. So really, I mean, this was the real main event, right? I mean, no knock at Zack Sabre Jr. or Ricochet, but the return of Kenny Omega. Kenny's been gone for how many months? 14 months? 13 months?
Yeah,
had diverticulitis.
Like that.
It was life-threatening to the point that if he had waited another day, it may have cost him his life. He was very sick for a long time. Came out, new theme. I think it was the people from Final Fantasy put it together. He comes out, he looks incredible. Gabe Kidd is a hard-hitting monster, okay? He's unbelievable.
I didn't realize how over he was. He was
Gabe Kidd?
Over with that crowd, yeah.
Well, remember, they were telling a story here where, him wearing the New Japan trunks, I mean, totally helped too, you know? But
right.
I mean, he's young too, man. He's 27 years old, Gabe Kidd. Very young.
Mm-hmm.
So the big story here is on commentary, they were pretty much telling you that Kenny Omega left. He's not one of us. He's not New Japan. He went to the highest bidder, a money mark, and they were brutal on commentary about this. Essentially that AEW raided New Japan, took Okada, took Kenny, took the Bucks, took everybody, and left them with nothing. And here comes Kenny Omega. Kenny looks like he's never stopped wrestling. He was incredible. Already it's a match of the year candidate.
Oh, it might end up being the match of the year for all that.
Tanahashi's crying.
At the end of it. So there was a spot. So one thing to what you just said about them presenting him as the heel, Bryce Remberg from AEW was started as a referee.
Yeah.
And then where did he go? He just disintegrated into the earth.
Yeah. Well, I you know what? That's a good question. But he was getting, you know, they were talking about how bad the AEW referees are on commentary too.
Right. That was part of it. And then he got taken out in that wild spot. So there was a couple spots in here that I don't know if you caught. Kenny puts Gabe through those tables that were the announced
behind
tables.
The barricade. Yeah.
Behind the. Yeah. And then when he does that, that's when they start the selling. and they start calling all the medical personnel over to Gabe Kidd, and he's gushing blood. And then so Kenny did that, the Bryan Danielson troll spot where, hey, I'm gonna sell my injury that almost cost my life.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna sit here and act like I'm dying.
Well, he was selling his hip too.
Right. Well, I for a minute I thought maybe he actually did hurt his hip.
Well, did you see? You know what was incredible? So at the end, right? Kenny hit a Tiger Driver. They go to the top. I can't remember what it was off the top turnbuckle. Right after that spot, mm-hmm. But Gabe Kidd reverses a one winged angel to go into an abdominal stretch.
I did love that. That was actually really good.
And you know, mm-hmm. I've never seen that move make sense more than this.
Mm-hmm. That's when I know wrestling. I love wrestling when you do a move and whatever it is, it has purpose because you need to do it, or nothing else is going to work. That's when it works the best. And yeah.
I thought that was incredible. I and it's that little thing, right? And that it works mm-hmm. so yeah. well. Kenny got the win. They beat the crap out of each other. Both guys are bloody. They're bleeding everywhere. Just what a showing for Kenny. And now, look, you know, he's back.
He's back. He's supposed to be on Dynamite this week.
If you don't treat him like Kenny Omega, you have no idea what you're doing.
He looks every bit of the cleaner Kenny Omega.
I don't know how. I don't want a comedy act. I don't want jokes. I want this guy.
And well, there it looks like they're setting up the program, and we'll maybe talk about it a little later, but. It looks like maybe we are getting Okada Omega 5 at some point.
We are going to get that at the at All In, so that's going to be the setup here.
Oh, is that Zach's... where they're setting it up for? Okay.
Main event: Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Ricochet. This was a good match. I like this better than the main event of Wrestle Kingdom.
This was good. Ricochet just to me. He was so abused in WWE that stench hasn't left it for me yet.
It'll change. It'll change.
Yeah, but he's starting. And the program, they did mention the Swerve Strickland program on AEW.
Yeah.
During the match, so how dastardly he's become all of a sudden. So,
what's nutty here is there was zero promotion on AEW for this show.
I did.
And I don't know why.
Well, you know, the only time they mentioned anything, they didn't mention anything about this match. The one they mentioned was the Mercedes Amina match because they're both on AEW.
They're both
TV.
On AEW, yeah. And but I mean, you look at Collision, really right? Up. Collision went on before this show. Not one mention on Collision.
Yeah, I did notice that they mentioned that Takeshita won the title on Wrestle Kingdom. That's only mention of anything
wild.
In Japan.
I don't know why. There's something here. Talk about Collision. Let's go into Collision. AEW TNT title match. Daniel Garcia and Mark Briscoe. Daniel Garcia defeated him. Private Party defeated Action Andretti and Leo Rush. They need to do something with the tag titles here. The tag division is really not. And no knock at Private Party, but you got to put some people against them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just haven't believed their title run yet because they're just basically in that three man with Top Flight and those three teams just keep going back and forth. That's it.
Toni Storm defeated Deonna Purrazzo. This was they were still selling the rookie Toni Storm.
Rookie
and it's gotten
Toni
so
Storm.
Over. And you know what? It's incredible. And on commentary, they were talking about how over Toni is and being so new to the company.
You were at the Hammerstein show where they were chanting, she's a rookie, right?
Yeah. So good. And you know what? She's incredible, right? And it's unbelievable that only a short number of years ago, the thing that triggered her to exit was getting a pie thrown to her face by Charlotte. Mm-hmm. She knew the kiss of death was that was it for her there. 100,000 high-speed collision four-way. Brian Cage defeated Dante Martin. Commander and the
this
Beast Mortos.
Kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah. Just kinda, I don't know.
Oh, you're just going to throw $100,000 out for on a random collision?
Brian cut a good promo backstage. Brian cut a really good promo backstage. Talking about the Callis family. I don't know if that was on TV or not, but it was on social. I saw it on social. Big fired up promo. Rated FTR. Cope.
How you feel about that?
How you feeling? Listen, it sucks.
So here's my theory on why they changed his name or did it. Because and you're an example of this because you have a hard time not saying Edge. They went back to a one word name for him, hoping that people will adopt that.
You know, I would have done it differently, right? Mm-hmm. I would have still kept him Adam Copeland. And again, too many Adams. This would never happen anywhere else. There's like 80 Adams. That's part of the problem. Two, it's very long. Adam Copeland is very long.
Right.
Long.
Mm-hmm.
If they just started calling him Cope, like how John Moxley was started getting called Mox, right?
This wouldn't be,
You never took away the name John Moxley. You never took it away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you could call him Cope, you know? You could establish that that's his nickname, which they kind of did on like a year ago with Renee, where he said that he likes to be called Cope. So he's been thinking about this for a while.
Yeah.
I listen, like anything else, we'll get used to it. You know, Cope. I'm coping with the name Cope. Read it, FTR. Adam Copeland, Cope. Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood defeated the Learning Tree. Big Bill, Brian Keith, Chris Jericho. There was a moment in the back between Jericho and Adam Copeland. And he's like, hey, listen, I like you, whatever, you know. Adam was played babyface, and Jericho pretty much said, I don't remember any of it because they've wrestled 4 decades, both of those guys together.
That's wild.
And they haven't wrestled each other in 15 years. This is their 4th decade of wrestling for both. And he's like, and he brings up, he goes, oh, we wrestled 15 years ago the last time. And Jericho was like, I have no memory of that. The only thing I remember is you getting injured a lot.
And then he called him an a-hole. Never mind, I think you're a...
Yeah, he called him an a-hole. And then he's like, I'll see you outside. And I hope Chris Jericho continues doing this. He looks at the camera and goes, that was a sick burn. About something that he said. Great. Great. I love that.
Almost like
nonsense.
Like a teenager dad, like thing. Yeah. It's like a dad joke as a teenager.
So the match happens, right? This FTR, rated FTR match is happening. The match ends. They defeat the Learning Tree. They go to the screen, and it's John Moxley. And what do you see? John Moxley has kidnapped the Rock and Roll Express.
Who were there all night, right?
The Rock and Roll Express are all night. Prior to this, by the way, we had a great moment with the Outrunners and FTR. And the Outrunners come out, and they look at them, and they say, you owe us gas money from 1982. And
that's awesome.
Ricky or Robert, I think it was Ricky, he's like, you weren't born in 82. I'm not even sure you were born in 82. And then they squash their beef, and they shake hands, you know, very hokey, very 1980s. Fantastic. So the Rock and Roll Express, they're tied. And I don't know what John Moxley was planning on doing.
With duct tape on their mouths. Well,
Okay. Okay. Mm. And Ricky goes, you don't have the balls to do it to John Moxley.
Right then I said, oh, they're not going to do some sort of Kai and Tai type thing right now, are they?
No. You know what I thought? I'm like, oh my God, he's going to set them on fire. He's going to set these two old men on fire.
Is that what you thought?
I honestly thought, watching that, I'm like, oh no, he's going to light them on fire. I don't know why, but he didn't do anything. They ran away. Outrunners come out trying to help. They come out, Wheeler, Yuta, Marina laid them out.
Yeah.
Then the Death Riders bail before Adam Copeland and FTR show up, and the show ends.
Good show.
I thought it was a fun
show. Did you have any, when I texted you and I goes, hey, you know the other show's starting, right? Did you know it was starting?
Yeah, 11 o'clock, yeah. But it started before, I think the pre-show was before 11.
10 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched it. Do you know what time I started watching this?
What time?
4:50 in the morning, when my daughter came into the room to tell us she doesn't feel good in the morning. I couldn't go back to sleep. I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to watch New Japan now. Silently. In the dark. Just exactly how you should be watching New Japan. Silently in the dark. Wednesday's schedule for Dynamite. Kenny Omega makes his return to AEW. Big appearance. MJF is appearing. Casino Gauntlet match for the AEW World Title match. World Title match on January 15th on Dynamite. Cool. And I'm sure a lot more, right? This Jeff Jarrett stuff is very interesting, where he's retiring this year. So he wants to challenge for the title. So big setup for AEW. And they did this last year with Joe. Do you remember this? And I don't know if it's them just going back to this because it didn't really fall in place the way it was. When Joe had that title, do you remember everybody was gunning for it? Or yes. when Max had the title, right? Max had the title. Mm-hmm. Everybody was gunning for the title. And everybody was declaring that they want that title. That's where we're at right now.
We're seeing
everybody
that again.
Everybody is declaring that they want the world championship that John Moxley has. Swerve wants it, right? He wants it back. Hangman wants it. MJF Cope. Wants it. Who?
Cope.
Copeland mm-hmm. wants it. Everybody's declaring. Jeff Jarrett wants a world title. I always like that. That should be your priority as a professional wrestler, right? That should always be the priority. And people are like, how come so many people want the world title? I'm like, how could they not? That's why you're in this.
Yeah.
That's why you wrestle, because you eventually want to be world champion. Every single person should be saying, I want that world title. I want a chance at the world title. I don't know where the story is going for the Death Riders. I have no idea. I have an idea, but I don't know what the end result of it will be. I don't know what the end story would be here with John Moxley and the Death Riders. Listen, my fantasy booking, for my own selfish reasons, and nothing that most people want to see, is I want to see Shane McMahon show up.
God. I need to get you off that at some point. We need to figure out how to get you off that.
No, like, stop. I don't care what anybody says.
I know.
You don't want that giant head on TV? You don't want to see these terrible punches again on TV, on AEW TV? You're telling me you don't want to see a Kenny Omega versus Shane McMahon match for the AEW World Championship?
Oh, my God. I'm going to go vomit right now. Okay.
You know, Vince has held two titles, two world championships.
Oh, you think his son wants more? You think his son
needs why can't Shane have one?
Oh, I forgot he held the ECW title, too.
Not only did he hold the ECW title, he wore a durag the entire run as ECW champion.
Mm. Yes.
That matched his suits. Sick man.
And had some very interesting words for John Cena.
Oh my God.
That we shall never mention.
Jeez. That's a fever dream. That to me, that's a fever dream that they even thought of that happening.
That just came up on my socials this last
Every
week.
Every now and then, like, a lot of those come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I like that everybody's declaring. And also, Chris Daniels is now in a mix with Hangman Page. He busted him open.
Yes.
The Fallen Angel's back.
Mm. At least for another guy that's going to do a last run that'll probably be really good.
Yeah, I do like how things are lining up here for all of wrestling. I if there was ever a moment for AEW, right, like to utilize importantly, it's now. Their TV deal is done. There's no more when, how, if. They got the TV deal. They're simulcasting on Max. They have Kenny Omega back. The Bucks are going to be back. MJF is back. Adam Copeland is back. This is the setup now. Ricochet is working out for them.
His
Don't
golden
listen to
scissors.
Twitter. Yeah, that was nasty. I mean, he's a psychopath. Did you see JoJo JoJo wasn't it?
She
was
did
the, doing the, yeah,
she,
the ring
she
announcement.
Did the, like the
good
off-air stuff.
Yeah, I hope they do something with her. Maybe that was a trial for her, but I hope that they do something with her. Yeah. I'm very high on wrestling right now.
It's back.
I thought this was
Speaking of that.
It's coming back. Also, tomorrow. Let's talk about this. Tomorrow.
You want to go into some WWE stuff? Is that where
we're
going?
Yeah, we have to. We have to. I'll get yelled at if we don't.
You're going to get yelled at either way, so just go.
Monday Night Raw debuts on Netflix. And this card is stacked. Okay? This card is absolutely stacked. This is what we have right as of right now on paper. You have the New Day versus Rey Mysterio and To Be Determined. Is this the moment Penta debuts? Because we're getting the debut of Penta. Yes. We're getting the return of John Cena. We're getting Drew McIntyre and Jey Uso. We're getting Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley in a Last Woman Standing match. We're getting CM Punk and Seth Rollins. And you're getting tribal combat with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa and everything else that they're probably going to do on that show.
They have three pay-per-view level main events that they're stacking this with. So here's my first question. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything about formatting? Is it going to be 3 hours on the dot? Or are they just going to kind of run it?
I was told by somebody there that knows this, that there's no strict...
Right.
They don't have a hard out. There's no hard out. Right. So
if it needs to be 2 hours and 50 minutes, you can do it.
I think they're programming to be close to three. But they said, listen, sometimes it may be 2 hours and 30 minutes. Sometimes it may be 3 hours and 10 minutes. It depends. It depends on what they're doing. I think they're going to probably stick to tight to keep it, you know, maybe 250, whatever, closer to three than two. But, you know, the first show, they could get away with doing a 3 hour show. No problem. More. They could do four, you know, they could extend it depending. They're in a beautiful
building. And it's on
demand.
You can go back and watch it and all that too. So
they're in a brand new building in LA. That building is awesome.
It's the Clippers' new home,
right? It's the Clippers' new home. Also, there was a leaked image on social media.
And I shared this with you.
On SmackDown.
The other day.
Now, I don't know if this is real. Was it confirmed to be real?
I haven't heard it confirmed, but it does look like it might have been real. But according to Sean Ross Sapp, they might have been just testing stuff.
They probably were. It was a black mat with sponsorships everywhere. Fortnite dead in the middle. I mean, the big story here would be, are they going to do Fortnite skins for, you know, is this what's coming for them? You know, new
it
Fortnite
It kind of
makes
sense.
Which
it
makes
kinda,
a lot
I
of
could
sense.
See it.
You also had Hulk Hogan's beer on the other corner. For all the people that were Riyadh season was on there. For all the people that were knocking AEW for the Ric Flair energy drink, WWE is promoting Hulk Hogan's beer, allegedly. You know, I this is what they're going to do. It's all about maximizing revenue. So does it look hokey? Does it look bad? Yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm not a big fan of it, but I get it. Like, I would, if I have money thrown at me and I got to generate revenue, and that's what TKO is all about. They want to make money.
You know, we cannot love it, but at some point, you're just going to get used to it, and it's going
to just
fall in the
it,
back.
If they do
you
that.
Won't even notice it's there.
Yeah, I we'll see. SmackDown also had a very blue canvas.
Yes.
It was very blue, that canvas. I don't know. You know what's funny? It was almost like they had like a special ceremony segment and they just never removed it. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
Well, you
also,
know when they bring out the red mat
a,
for like a crowning or whatever? They just never took it away.
Or the full black when they do like a wedding or something. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a boxing ring. And then one of our friends mentioned that it's also the same color that New Japan uses.
Oh, wow. Very blue.
So, yeah, it was very
blue.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm very curious about tomorrow night. There's also a rumor that WWE is holding the Royal Rumble in 2026 in Saudi Arabia.
Which, so this is the one. So of all the ones, so this is for you because you like afternoon pay per views.
I do,
but this is the one where you have a party.
I don't want it.
And you kind of, you would rather it be at night, right?
I don't care, but I don't know. A lot of the reaction to the Royal Rumble has to do with the crowd.
Right.
The success of the Rumble really, I mean, obviously you could talk about the match itself, but the crowd really dictates how good of a Rumble it is. Great example, 2020. The 2020 Royal Rumble is up there now. And a lot of people, unfortunately, nobody has gone back to watch that. People have forgotten about that show because we went right into a pandemic following it.
Yeah,
but
we all remember.
That was a top, to me and to many people, that was a real top-tier Royal Rumble. It told a story. Brock Lesnar dominated the whole thing. 16 people came in and came out, and it was Drew McIntyre that eliminated Brock Lesnar. He was the Kingslayer, and that was leading up to their mega match. Didn't fall out that way, but if that crowd did not react positively to everything that was happening, to the way that they did, it would have been a dud. You saw one guy throw everybody out for six, you know, for 25 minutes, 30 minutes. So with that said, I think the crowd reaction is good. Is CM Punk going to go to this show?
Oh, I think he would. This is a big show.
Yeah?
And it's a year from now, man.
The Blood Money comment, you think he's going to go to Saudi Arabia?
I think he will. I think for this show he will. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like I said, we got a year to go before
we
get
got a
there.
Year to go, and it's a rumor.
And they,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It may be a great Royal Rumble. I don't know. That's very possible.
I will say this: that Saudi Arabia crowd absolutely is. They're in on storylines now where I don't think they were a few years ago.
No, no, no. Well, I think it's a very different crowd now. Yeah,
the crowd will be there.
I mean, that first one. Do you remember? Everybody was moving furniture. They were moving sofas during during the main event of that first Saudi show. I'm not even kidding. I wish I was joking there, but I'm not. SmackDown,
like
a couple
a
important things happened
for a furniture
here.
Store.
Tiffany Stratton defeated Nia Jax to become the WWE Women's Champion in 4 seconds. The crowd was so into this.
Dude, this was... Okay, so... What they... So this is an example of Triple H's... WWE as opposed to where Vince was.
Yeah.
Vince would have already cashed out on this whole storyline and just either had Tiffany lose the briefcase or had it done by now. But he stuck with this for like 3 months and really
sold they teased it. They teased it. They teased it. They teased it.
Teasing it.
Yeah, pretty much what happened. Nia defeated Naomi. And it was a very long match. It went 20 minutes, by the way, this match. This may have been the longest match on the card. Yeah, it was.
It was.
They went 20 minutes. Not a great match, but...
No.
So,
I mean,
Naomi...
Still,
Tiffany
Naya
came
still
out,
is what she is.
Tiffany came out midway through the match, ended up hitting Naomi with the briefcase. This led to Nia winning the match. Tiffany then would celebrate with Nia until Nia would attack Bianca, giving Tiffany a chance to hit her with the briefcase, setting up the cash-in. I thought this was good. It paid off. The crowd got really, really into it. That was a big change here. Also, the show started off with Paul Heyman essentially setting up Tribal Combat for Monday.
I have one last thing to say real quick before we move on. I apologize.
Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton's moonsault. There was a critique, and that moonsault was absolutely beautiful. Probably the best one she's done. The problem is, in the main event segment, you got Jacob Fatu doing the exact same move, and he does it almost he does it faster than her, so it looks different. But I don't know. Maybe that's something that producers could fix so they don't do the same move on the same show.
Yeah.
Very
good show.
Very
it was a good show. 3 hours, and it didn't feel really long. You also had DIY and Motor City Machine Guns. Went to a no contest. Heyman, like I said, started the show out, essentially setting up Tribal Combat.
This was really good.
Are we going to see Dwayne tomorrow? Is Dwayne showing
up?
That's a
great
question. Another one.
Well, okay. So who will show up tomorrow? Who do we already know? We know Cena's going to be there.
We know Cena's going to be there. Do we get Hogan? Do we get who? Do we bring back the Legends? They haven't even promoted that, have they?
I kind of want them to kind of move on. Don't you kind of want to see new people we haven't seen?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for them to kind of move on.
And also, I mentioned this before to you, with them adding these two secondary women's titles, now you have a block for that middle hour. If you're going to do 3 hours on both shows, now you have more. You can have another program added in. Hopefully, that's what they do with those titles, because otherwise, we just have too many titles.
I agree with you. All right, let's wrap it up, guys. This was the first show back from me. Kind of fell back in the groove little by little. Big show tomorrow, Monday Night Raw on Netflix. I'm back on Tuesday with Garrett. Matt Men on Friday. I'm plugging everything. I don't care. Plug away. And then you can follow me on X @AndrewZarian. Guys, we'll see y'all next week on Wrestling Observer Live. Take care.